It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Happy Sabbath, everyone. May God bless you today. It's the Sabbath, February 25th, and it's a time for us to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The Bible says, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house, Lord. My wife, undreamed of, will take us.
Good morning. Let's pray. Eternal Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this time to come together and to open up your word. We thank you for this time of worship, and we thank you for your holy Sabbath. As we hear your word today, Lord, may we be more than just a hearer, but also a doer. We ask that you will bless and anoint the words of our pastor as he speaks to us this morning. And we ask, Lord, that you would fill him with your spirit as you empty him of self. These things we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song, my brothers and sisters, is It's About Time.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about
Amen. Brothers and sisters, we are going to be listening to, or reading, rather, the devotional entitled He Is Risen from a book called Homeward Bound. And it is various excerpts from a book called The Desire of Ages, pages 780 to 782. Of course, talking about the resurrection of Jesus, my friend, and we're going to look at some other principles regarding the resurrection. So I hope that you'll be blessed as we read God's word and hear his voice today. Let's pray. As we open thy word, dear Father, we're so grateful that you loved us enough to give us a Sabbath. Those who have looked at statistics have discovered those who keep the Sabbath actually live 11 years longer than the average person. And then when they did a deep dive and they realized that in 11 years, there were a certain number of Sabbaths, or in a lifetime, the average lifetime, rather, the average life that of the average American, there were so many years, I think it's 75 years is the average length of life, and they discovered that if you count how many Sabbaths there are in that 75 years, it's actually 11 years of Sabbath. So what you did was, them that honor me, you said, I will honor. As those who live the average length of life would keep the Sabbath, you added 11 years to their life when they kept 11 years of Sabbath. So we thank you very much for confirming, for loving, for guiding. And I pray that you bless us now as we read and discuss and share your word in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if I made that clear in my prayer. So to make it clearer, they took the average length of life. I think it's 75. I forgot what it was. It might be 78 years. My wife might remember the exact, but it's not important. So don't send me a text because she would definitely send me a text but to correct me. But we're just dealing with the big picture here. It's about 78 years, and so they did the math, and of course, every year is 365 days, and then you have basically, how many Sabbaths, you divide that by seven to know how many Sabbaths are in that time, and they just did that. And so once they realized that it was, you know, a certain large number of Sabbaths within a 78-year period, and it ended up being about 11 years that it would add to your life. And it found that those who keep the Sabbath, Seventh-day Adventists, lived on average 11 years longer. So what the person was saying was that as we honored God, he gave it back to us. So that's just a beautiful concept. All right, friends. Matthew chapter 28, verse 6 says, He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. It continues on, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, but they don't have all that in this particular part of the verse. An earthquake marked the hour when Christ laid down his life, and another earthquake witnessed the moment when he took it up in triumph. He who had vanquished death and the grave came forth from the tomb with the tread of a conqueror amid the reeling of the earth, the flashing of lightning, and the roaring of thunder. I want to say that it's important for us to remember the science behind the resurrection of Christ as best as we can know it and understand it. Jesus said, if you turn in your Bibles to John chapter 10, verse 17, he says, Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. God the Father did not raise Jesus from the dead. The Holy Spirit did not raise Jesus from the dead. Jesus raised himself from the dead. So you would say, well, how is that if he's dead? I can't raise myself from the dead. And you said that when you're dead, you're dead, and you know, you don't really have any consciousness. See, we have to understand there is a mystery, but what we know of the mystery is this. Jesus is the embodiment of 100% humanity with the embodiment of 100% divinity, okay? And we can't understand that. That's part of a mystery, okay, that God would come in the flesh. That's the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. God came in the flesh. So he wasn't 50% man and 50% God. He's 100% man, and you can't stop being God, okay? So Jesus Christ, the best we can explain it with simple human terms, not understanding the full mystery, is that when it was time, his divinity laid his humanity to rest. But divinity cannot die. Okay? You can't kill God. And so it is as though his divinity stood guard over his humanity. And when the time was to be fulfilled, divinity simply infused back into humanity, and Christ raised himself from the dead at his Father's command. That is the best way we can explain it. You can't explain that with physics, all the details with physics. You can't explain all the details with any science. It is beyond our understanding, and we might be able to grasp it when we get on the other side, okay? So that is that. But it's beautiful, friends, that we understand that Jesus did not die of crucifixion. Jesus died of a broken heart. It was too much for his humanity and his divinity. Just let the humanity, let sin just, you know, wipe out the humanity. But Jesus did it voluntarily. He was not killed by man, although man murdered him. Is that, you follow what I'm saying? In other words, he voluntarily laid his life down. He could have changed it. If people on death row could get off death row, I think everybody on death row would get off of death row. If people who are in prison could get out of prison, I think most of them would get out of prison if they could. Jesus could not be held by prison bars. He could not be held by chains and ropes and things of these nature. He could have saved himself from sin, from paying the penalty for sin. And so I just want to bring that out. That's John 10, 17 and 18. It goes on and says, Christ came forth from the tomb glorified, and the Roman guard beheld him. Their eyes were riveted upon the face of him whom they had so recently mocked and derided. Now, friends, they were riveted because they were scared also. Because when you mock and deride and crucify somebody, you expect as a soldier they're going to come back for a counterattack. And that is what they were concerned about, of course, not seeing anything like that in their lifetime with all this glory. In this glorified being, they beheld the prisoner whom they had seen in the judgment hall, the one for whom they had plaited a crown of thorns. At sight of the angels, and I want to say this, you know, you have people that just like to do evil, that just like to think up evil. That's what this world is about. Many people who have committed horrendous murders, sometimes the details of the crime are so horrific that they can't be told on TV. That's how these men were. At sight of the angels and the glorified Savior, the Roman guard had fainted and become as dead men. When the heavenly train was hidden from their view, they arose to their feet, and as quickly as their trembling limbs could carry them, made their way to the gate of the garden. Staggering like drunken men, they hurried on to the city, telling those whom they had met the wonderful news. You know, we need to, friends, realize how powerful our God is. We need to be thinking about those stories like Elisha, where his servant was concerned because he was surrounded, and God was asked to open his eyes, and he saw this huge company of fighting men, but they were angels that surrounded those who were surrounding them. And God is so much stronger than the devil, friends. It's no comparison, but the devil has to be allowed, since he started this mess, to bring it to a full climax that everybody might see and take a stand on the side of righteousness. And so God's people will again be persecuted in these last days. And so we have to have a strength in Christ, but understand we need to recognize that though things happen to us that are not peaceful and that are painful, we can put our trust in God, for he is much stronger than the devil, and this will all be over soon. Staggering like drunken men, they hurried on to the city, telling those whom they had met the wonderful news. They were making their way to Pilate, but their report had been carried to the Jewish authorities, and the chief priests and rulers sent for them to be brought first into their presence. Strange appearance those soldiers presented, trembling with fear, their faces colorless. They bore testimony of the resurrection of Christ. The soldiers told all, just as they had seen it, that they had not had time to think or speak anything but the truth. With painful utterance, they said it was the Son of God who was crucified. We have heard an angel proclaiming him as the majesty of heaven, the King of glory. The faces of the priests were as those of the dead. Caiaphas tried to speak. His lips moved, but they uttered no sound. A lying report was then given to the soldiers. Tell them to say this, that the disciples came and stole it, in other words. It doesn't say that, but that's what they were told to say. And so, my friends, today, Jewish people don't believe Jesus came because their religious leaders lied to them starting years ago and centuries ago. And I'm here to tell you, if you're Jewish, you need to stop listening to them. You need to study the Bible. You need to study the Old Testament, particularly those parts of the Bible, and stop studying that Talmud, because that's not scripture. That's what Jesus refused to study. And they had all these extra rules put in there that were not biblical and were not scriptural. And that's why they hated Christ, because he wouldn't follow the rabbinical customs, because they're not scriptural. We have things in our churches, brothers and sisters, that are not scriptural. We have all kinds of things that we make up and we require of people, where they have to pay all their tithe, and you know, how they must change their worship services, and what we must have now in our schools to be like the world. I'm here to tell you, friends, that they're going to find out way too late that they should have followed Christ all the way, that his way is the best way, and that it's in his word. You know, it says, oh, as we read on, when Jesus was laid in the grave, Satan triumphed. He dared to hope that the Savior would not take up his life again. He claimed the Lord's body, set his guard about the tomb, seeking to hold Christ a prisoner. He was bitterly angry when his angels fled at the approach, the heavenly messenger. Christ was guarded by soldiers from Pilate. He was guarded by demons from Satan, and all of them fled. When he saw Christ come from forth in triumph, he knew that his kingdom would have an end and that he must finally die. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to say this to you. I'd like to take you to the Bible and again, and I want to go now to the book of Acts, and we're in Acts chapter 17, and we're looking at verse 30. A lot of people aren't worshiping God today. Today is Saturday. Today is the day of worship. It's the day that Jesus sanctified at the creation. You can read that in Genesis chapter 2. And this day, my dear friends, the Sabbath day, has been changed as the day of worship by the Roman Catholic Church in defiance of Scripture. They are anti-Christ. That means in place of Christ, going against Christ because they tried to replace him. You can't replace Christ. If you do, you're anti-Christ. The Pope is not God on earth. He's a sinful man. He's called the man of sin in the Bible, the son of perdition in the Bible. Friends, we are warned against his policies in the Bible. He will be lost. He will die in his sins. Now, can he at that level repent? That's God's call. But it would seem not. But that's not my issue today. I want to share with you that there is a significance, if there would be, I should say, a significance to Sunday. I'm going to show you what it is, because people say we don't have to keep the Sabbath because Sunday was the day that Jesus rose from the grave. My friends, if God tells you to remember the Sabbath, 6 days shalt thou labor, but the seventh day is the Sabbath, you don't have the right to say, no, it's not. It's the first day because you rose. You can't tell God what to do. He is God, my friends, and he told us what day he sanctified. And so we have to keep holy the Sabbath day. It's a beautiful thing. You know, we just can't wait for the Sabbath to come in. We don't have to worry about bills, especially those who can't pay anyway, right? You don't have to worry about any financial stuff. You don't have to worry about troubles, times, you know. There's a murder trial that's being publicized, and unfortunately that thing was publicized. I bet some of you all watched it on the Sabbath day because you couldn't take your mind off because it was still going and sunset was going in certain regions. Turn that murder trial off and open up the Sabbath. You have an opportunity to be with Jesus, my friends. Turn that stuff off. Cut your mind off of the secular. You have time to have a date with God. Like, it's like an anniversary. You wouldn't just do certain things on your anniversary. You would spend time with your special, your wife, your husband. And I want to read to you, if there would be any significance of Sunday worship, it would be this. From Acts chapter 17, verse 30 and 31. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. That man is Jesus Christ, and he is judging the world today, starting in 1844. And, my friends, your life will come in review before God. But guess what? You can be saved. All you have to do is surrender and then feed on God. You know, it's what you feed on. Do a study. Look at how many hours you spend watching TV compared to how many hours you pray, how many hours you study the Bible and the Spirit of Prophecy. If that is disproportionately on the side of the TV, brothers and sisters, you're not feeding right. And that's why your walk isn't right. That's why things aren't going right, because you're feeding on things that aren't best for your character development. And so, friends, we have to go through that hard task of doing what might seem boring. If you stick with it, it won't be boring. There is power in the Bible. There's power in the blood, as the song says. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There is power in the blood. Would you or evil of victory when there's wonderful power in the blood? So let's get that power today, my friend. I just wanted to share that with you, Acts 17, 30 and 31. The fact that Jesus rose, it is a declaration that he will judge the world in righteousness. It'll all be over, friends. There'll be no more sorrow and sickness and death and pain and misery and strife and oppression. All of it will be over. You just want to make sure you're on the right side, but it's all over. May the Lord bless you and keep you today, my friend, on this holy Sabbath. Let's sing a song.
Praise ye the Father for his loving kindness. Tenderly cares he for his erring children. Praise him, ye angels. Praise him in the heavens. Praise ye Jehovah. Praise ye the Savior. Great is his compassion. Graciously cares he for his chosen people. Young men and maidens, ye old men and children, praise ye the Savior. Praise ye the Spirit, Comforter of Israel, Sent of the Father and the Son to bless us. Praise ye the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Praise the Eternal.
Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you very much that Jesus rose from the grave. He laid down his life on his own. His divinity raised himself from the dead. We just learned, Father, that the significance of that, if there would be any, is that as a declaration that it'll all be over, that Jesus claimed, promised that he would judge the world in righteousness, and that's happening now. Father, we thank you that he rose and that Satan was defeated. And that through that resurrection, we can understand that we can be victorious also over the devil. Help us on this 25th of February to surrender our heart to Jesus. Say, Lord, I surrender to you today. I want to give up sin. I want you to show me my sinful ways, and I will repent of them. And I will give you what is owed, which is my whole life. Thank you, Lord, in the precious in lovely name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. All right, friends, we're going to take a little bit of a intermission, and we'll have the torso song, and I'll be back in about 8 minutes. We'll be talking about that constipation is the mother of all disease. Constipation, the mother of all disease.
You must
butter, meat, eggs and cheese. Line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Do you feel enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered, and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. So when you indulge and you run from the scale, the battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain. Your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And
friends, our topic for health is constipation is the mother of all disease. Constipation is the mother of all disease. You know, we need to recognize that the basic difference between how we in biblical wellness see the human body and see disease compared to how it's taught in modern medicine is very simply illustrated in a little story. The story is about, or really an illustration. It's illustrated in this question. If you were to be in an area where there was a mosquito outbreak and there was a lot of swamps, and the mosquitoes just thrived in the swamps, and you had to get rid of those mosquitoes, how would you do it? Well, if you think like modern medicine, you would spray chemicals and kill all the mosquitoes. Well, that would also destroy the ecosystem with all those chemicals and probably destroy plant life and other things like that. If you think like those in biblical wellness, you would get rid of the swamps, okay? Places like Belzoni, Mississippi, back in the day, used to be the catfish capital of the country. They just were swarming with mosquitoes because they had a lot of catfish ponds. And this question was asked what to do, and some people said we need to go and spray, and others said, no, we need to get rid of the catfish pond. And so that simple answer, whichever answer it is, will determine how your mind thinks. We understand that the internal environment of our body must be changed rather than just, and then we see disease as the mosquitoes are drawn. The disease is like the mosquitoes, but the problem is not the mosquitoes. The symptom is like the mosquitoes. But if they don't have anything to feed on, if the catfish pond, then they'll just go away. And so that's how we deal with the human body, friends. We clean it up so that the problems that we tend to have as symptoms, they aren't there. With that understanding, one of the biggest ways that we tend to cause filth to build up in our body is through constipation. And God designed that the foods that we eat should be eliminated within 24 to 25 hours after consumption. When it just keeps lingering longer than that, even good food tends to putrefy, and it poisons the system. When it builds up too much, it actually goes backwards through the ileocecal valve into the small intestines, and large amounts get absorbed. But even when it doesn't, small amounts get absorbed. But over time, that small amount of toxins that get absorbed in the colon, it can tend to poison the blood, irritate the nerves, cause headaches, make you feel sluggish, wipe out your immune system, all of that. So one of the biggest things that people need to do that will greatly improve their health is get their colon cleaned out. And, of course, God wanted us to eat fruits, vegetables, whole grains, nuts, seeds, legumes, and these foods, many of them, most of them high in fiber, not refined foods and processed foods, but have the fiber removed and chemicals added. When we do that, of course, if we eat, you know, two meals a day, not eating in between meals, not drinking with our meals, making sure we drink plenty of water between the meals, giving it some time from the time the meal ends to the time, you know, an hour after the meal ends, you know, start drinking and don't drink an hour maybe before the meal. So that time in between there, that's when you should consume your water so that you don't water down your digestive juices that are working on your food. And so, my brothers and sisters, when you have that kind of lifestyle and diet and you get exercise and, you know, rest, trust in God, you'll have regular bowel movement. And it will help you keep from building up the toxins that cause disease. So one of the first things we do when you come to Torso is we fast. And part of that fasting process is a cleansing, and it helps to empty out the waste matter. And people just start glowing. They start feeling better. Yeah, they're hungry, but they start feeling better. So we want to encourage you to remember the illustration of the catfish pond. And let's get rid of the catfish pond instead of spraying chemicals on the mosquito. All right, my friends, God is good. We're going to get comments and questions and do our roll call. We start with our dear sister Salita, who says, happy Sabbath, my dear friends. We have Sister Lorian, who says, Happy Sabbath. We have Brother Peyton, who says, Happy Sabbath to all of us. He mentioned myself and my wife, but I know he's referring to all of us on the call and here. We're going to go to the phone lines now, and based on what I just mentioned, we have representation from, that would be Virginia. South Carolina's on Facebook. Uh-oh, looks like we just lost Facebook for a second. Trying to reconnect due to poor wireless connection. Come on. Okay, sorry about that, Facebook. Hopefully the wireless connection will be back. It appears that, hold on, let me just see something. I think we were having internet problems. And maybe I can adjust that. Okay, let me, I don't want to change, but I wonder if I should. Anyway, you've been good so far. So we have South Carolina, we have Indiana, we have North Carolina on Facebook. And on the call, we have representation from Maryland again, Delaware, Ohio, Indiana, and I believe our dear sister is still in Indiana. Yes, I think she is, who will be going to Oklahoma soon, but keep her in prayer. We have Georgia, and we have Missouri. Praise God. All right, friends, if anyone has a comment or question, testimony, prayer request, anything you would like to share, please press star 6. We'd love to engage with you on this beautiful Sabbath day. Anyone want to share anything, press star 6 at this time. We will have worship together. Our Zoom ID is 557-587-3947. 557-587-3947. And we hope that you join us for worship. The password is torso. We will send out an invitation on Facebook so you can receive that. We also send out an invitation on WhatsApp. The Zoom ID is 557-587-3947. The password in small letters is torso, T-O-R-S-O-A. All right, friends, there is no one in the queue. Thank you for joining us. Happy Sabbath to each one. We've got about 15 minutes to the top of the hour, and I will turn it over to my wife to close us out.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give a spiritual thought. It's been a long time since I've given one. But I found a quotation that I think is so beautiful, and it'd be nice to share on the Sabbath. Taken from Desire of Ages, page 19.2, and it says, by coming to dwell with us, Jesus was to reveal God both to men and to the angels. He was the Word of God, God's thought made audible. In his prayer for his disciples, he says, I have declared unto them thy name, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundance in goodness and truth, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. But not alone for his earthborn children was this revelation given. Our little world is the lesson book of the universe, God's wonderful purpose of grace. The mystery of redeeming love is the theme into which angels desire to look, and it will be their study throughout endless ages. Both the redeemed and the unfallen beings will find in the cross of Christ their science and their song. It will be seen that the shining glory in the face of Jesus is the glory of self-sacrificing love. In the light from Calvary, it will be seen that the law of self-renouncing love is the law of life for earth and heaven, that the love which seeketh not her own has its source in the heart of God, and that in the meek and lowly one is manifested the character of him who dwelleth in the light which no man can approach unto.
I thought that was a beautiful quote, and I wanted to share that with the broadcast this morning. At this time, you will have prayer. Let's pray. Eternal Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this time that you have given us to have worship. And we pray that as we go throughout your holy, sacred Sabbath day, that we will hold close to these hours. This is the day that we look forward to, the only day of the week where we know we can come together as your children and acknowledge our Creator, our God, our friend, our soon-to-come King. And Father, we want to lift up to you a petition requested by our dear sister, Odessa. A week ago, her sister was buried, and fast forward a week today, she will be burying the sister-in-law. Lord, we know that this family has gone through a trial of loss, and it has been devastating for each one who has suffered those consequences of the ones that they have loved and who is no longer with them. We ask, Lord, that you would comfort this family in a special way, that you would bless them, that you would give them your love in abundance during this time. May the emptiness, the void that's there, be filled with your love, even be filled with joy, remembering the lives of these special ones that you have placed into their lives. May this time of grieving and mourning bring them closer to you as they reach out to you in their time of despair. We want to ask, Lord, for strength to be given, and that you would be with our dear sister Odessa as she works with her family during these times. May she continue to give words of inspiration and encouragement from your holy book unto them. And Lord, we pray for her traveling mercies, as we know that she would be coming back home tomorrow. We ask that she will be with those that she will be traveling with, especially those guiding the planes. May your angels take over the flight. And may she be able to arrive home safely without a stir or any issues dealing with her home. May all be left in place when she arrived as she left it, when she went to Indiana. We ask that you will bless others that have lost loved ones and continue to be with Sister Lenny and her family. We know that there was a brother-in-law that had passed very recently, so we ask that strength and comfort will be given to the family as well. We ask, Lord, that for others who have lost best friends, we think about our mother in Israel. Two of her good friends have passed on, and we just want to remember her and them in prayer, their families in prayer. And we want to pray for others that may be suffering the loss of others. May not have been shared with us, but we ask that you would be with them as well. We pray that you would grant us physical health, Lord, so we can do your work, but help us to be healed spiritually and mentally first is our utmost prayer to you. And we ask that you would help those that are in need, for times are so hard and difficult, and many are struggling with their finances. So we ask that special blessings will be given to each one that is in dire need to be blessed, Lord, to have these finances to be increased, to have you to take care of all the needs that you have promised you would do. But we do have to do our part, and that is to seek you first and foremost, to seek after your righteousness and to give. You know, it seems that it's impossible for us to give at times when we need the money to pay for other expenses, whether it be rent or utilities or food or gas or insurance, whatever it may be. But we have to trust in an almighty God. For when you tell us to put you first, you'll add all these other things. And truly, we don't have to worry about how those things will be taken care of, because you are the provider and you are our Father who have promised that you will take care of us. May we trust you fully, wholeheartedly. From head to toe, Lord, may we just put our full trust in you. And Father, we do pray that you will forgive us for our sins where we have fallen short of your glory. On this day, your holy day, may each of us seek your face individually, asking for forgiveness, acknowledging our sins, confessing them unto you, and asking for repentance to be granted and forgiveness, so that we may be cleansed of everything that is wicked, evil, corrupted in our lives, in our hearts and our minds, so that we can be transformed into your beautiful image. Let us wear the image of our God who is soon to come, and not the image of the devil who wants to keep us in damnation. Help us, Lord, to do all we can to be faithful to you, to be saved, and to be redeemed. For these things we pray and ask in the precious and the only name that has all power and authority, Jesus Christ. We pray. Amen.
Amen. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate.
For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day. Happy Sabbath, and God bless you.
Amen. Remember, we'll be having service at 12. Look forward to you all joining us. The Lord leads you to do so. Closing song is I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust.